Welcome back to the Jefferson Exchange. Once a month, we discuss mental health issues in a segment with our partners at the National Alliance on Mental Illness Southern Oregon chapter. Host, NAMI Southern Oregon's Andra Hollenbeck, speaks with Andrew DeFrance of Jackson County Health and Human Services about diagnosing and supporting those living with psychosis.
Hello, you're listening to Mental Health Matters with Jefferson Public Radio and NAMI of Southern Oregon. I'm Andra Hollenbeck with NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. When we talk about being healthy, we can't discuss complete health without talking about mental health. So on this program, we highlight mental health issues in our communities and ways we can improve mental health for everyone. Today, we are discussing psychosis and the ESA program, or the Early Assessment and Support Alliance. And with us, we have Andrew DeFrance. He's an ESA screener with Jackson County Mental Health. He's here with us today. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us. So, first of all, let's just have you tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, and your current role, kind of what led you to that position at Jackson County Mental Health as the ESA screener.
Yeah, so I am a QMHP intern at Jackson County Mental Health. I came to the ESA program looking for an internship, complete my master's. I'm currently about 2 or 3 months out from graduating with my master's in marriage and family therapy.
Okay.
I kind of came into this program a little bit blind, didn't know a whole lot about psychosis in general, but they provide very wonderful training, and so I've been very quickly brought up to speed. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, on the team, I serve the role of screener. So as people come into the program, I'm administering assessments to evaluate their appropriateness for the program, give them an accurate diagnosis, bring them into the program if they would be to screen in, and then connecting them with other organizations if they would be better suited elsewhere. I also serve a role as therapist on the team. So if we are bringing people in, me and our other therapist, Jocelyn Ogle, we would then be able to provide ongoing therapeutic support for clients.
Okay, so just so people know, can you tell us what a QMHP is? Did I get that right? What that is?
Yeah, so QMHP is Qualified Mental Health Professional, and so that would be people who are recognized by the state of Oregon to be able to provide mental health therapy.
Okay, fully certified and all that. Could you explain a little bit about, you mentioned psychosis, what is it and why is it a problem?
Yeah, so fundamentally, psychosis symptoms, it describes mental health symptoms that represent a disconnection from reality. And there's lots of different ways that that can manifest. For some people, there's such thing as like auditory, it's hallucinations. So perceptions that are outside of what they would or what would normally be able to be experienced. So this may be hearing things that others don't, seeing things that other people don't, smelling, tasting, physical sensations that are not really based in reality.
Mm-hmm.
Another primary category would be like delusional thoughts. So
mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. having beliefs and thoughts that persist, that are false beliefs, that when contrary evidence is brought to bear, that they it doesn't really change those beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
Two other categories are disorganized communication and disorganized behavior. So disorganized communication has to do with difficulty understanding speech, as well as perhaps difficulty with communicating.
Mm, okay.
And disorganized behavior kind of starts as something kind of like perhaps it's struggles with normal motor movements. Like I used to be able to kick a soccer ball, and now I just can't seem to make that work for me. And then it can kind of get progressively more so.
So who typically experiences psychosis? And maybe what are some, I guess, what is the trajectory of psychosis? Does it start small, get bigger? And who has that happen to them?
Psychosis is extraordinarily common in the population. There's kind of a range of statistical estimates. Mm-hmm. I've seen anywhere from like 3 in 100 up to in adolescence and childhood being about 1 in 8.
Oh, wow.
And so
it's really prevalent.
Very prevalent. And it kind of originates from a lot of different sources, and I'm sure we'll get into that. But it's most common in childhood and adolescence, kind of pre-adulthood, and gets progressively less common mm-hmm. into adulthood.
And sometimes, let's talk about some of these symptoms and what they look like. And it sounds like maybe sometimes the symptoms, someone might be experiencing psychosis, but the symptoms are not severe enough to really be a problem, or maybe they're transitory. So what are some symptoms, and when are they, you know, when are they transitory, and when do they become a problem, that kind of thing?
I think when we're looking at rating kind of a level of concern is kind of where we're at with these experiences with psychosis has to do with kind of a connection with reality. So how much is this kind of a concerning thing that somebody is noticing mm-hmm. versus something that someone has incorporated into their conception of reality?
Oh.
And that's kind of where we would look at calling something like kind of like true psychosis, where some people call it like big P psychosis, which is where it has really kind of become reality to them.
Oh.
Whereas there's a whole range of experiences that are discomforting, disconcerting, mm-hmm. But they can still have that connection with reality. They mm-hmm. can still say this, there's something weird here. This isn't quite real.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the causes of that are there's so many potentials. You know, there's mental health conditions such as depression, trauma. There's impact of substance use is probably one of the largest, mm-hmm. Particularly in our community. And, you know, there's lack of sleep, mm-hmm. Poor nutrition, stress, mm-hmm. all of these things.
Grief, I suppose. Grief. Possibly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If you
yeah.
have a severe, which I guess goes into the realm of trauma.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We'll talk a little bit more about that because you're listening to Mental Health Matters on the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Andra Hollenbeck with NAMI of Southern Oregon. Today we're speaking with Andrew DeFrance of the ESA screener with Jackson County Mental Health. So we were talking about some of the symptoms. You mentioned how prevalent it was, and we were starting to talk about what would be some of the causes, and you mentioned some emotional conditions. Are there, do you ever see someone, and then you mentioned drug use, and mm-hmm. I was wondering, drug use can cause psychosis. How prevalent is that, something that you're seeing a bit more? Do people come in for your screening, and then how is that, I guess, how do you determine how do you determine what the cause is when someone comes in, if it's something from, you know, a drug use or a serious and persistent or possible chronic mental illness, or if it's just a you know, emotional trauma? How do you kind of tease that apart?
Yeah, so that's kind of the bread and butter of the screening process. It can take mm-hmm. a while. And mm-hmm. so, and the more information that we can get from people in the client's world, it's incredibly, incredibly helpful. So whether that's information from family or from hospitals, primary care providers, friends, and all of that's really helpful, because with something like substance use, sometimes it can be hard to tell if the psychosis is arising because of substance use, or if someone is using substances in order to cope with
the psychosis.
Exactly,
right.
Exactly. And so a lot of it has to do with timing. You know, did psychosis symptoms precede or follow substance mm-hmm. use? Mm-hmm. What does substance use look like? Some people are more sensitive to substance use than others.
Mm-hmm.
For example, marijuana is one of those that's really common right now, where for some reason some people have a extra sensitivity to the effects of marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
And I think especially as the potency of marijuana has been increasing recently, we have seen a skyrocketing rise in psychotic disorders.
Mm-hmm.
better explained by substances and marijuana included.
Yeah, I hear that. And so if you see some symptoms, or maybe you could, you know, maybe there are some symptoms that you could point to, and you see those in a loved one, what would be the way that that loved one or their friends or their family around them, what would the things that they would see, what would the person see themselves, and then how would they go about, you know, helping the person to figure out what's going on?
Yeah, well, with a psychosis our program primarily treats psychosis that is most likely connected with a primary psychotic disorder like schizophrenia or a bipolar disorder that also has psychotic features. And so when someone is kind of at a high risk of developing a further actual psychotic disorder, it starts off looking kind of similar more to like withdrawal, kind of depressive symptoms.
So avoidance of the world, because whatever, they're having some of these symptoms and then they end up kind of pulling back.
Right. And it usually happens kind of at the same time. And so auditory hallucinations, perhaps seeing shadow figures out of the corner of their eyes, some kind of disturbing and discomforting thoughts. Mm-hmm. They kind of arise at the same time as people are kind of
withdrawing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I suppose there's probably some hesitancy if they're having those experiences, there's probably some hesitancy in sharing that or, you know, telling someone, hey, I'm seeing weird things or I'm feeling weird things or hearing sounds. There's probably some hesitancy. Is that people don't want to be labeled crazy, or is it?
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of cultural as well as self-stigma that goes on there. That's really, really common. And one of the things that EASA really tries to reduce is what we would call the duration of untreated psychosis. Mm-hmm. And so there's this period of time between when someone starts initially experiencing symptoms and when it can progress towards a full psychotic disorder. And it's really, really common for a lot of reasons for that initial treatment to be delayed. And one of the primary causes is that shame and that stigma and that feeling of, not wanting to be labeled crazy, not wanting to be seen as crazy, but also not really being able to shake and deny these symptoms that they're experiencing. Yeah. So it's a really confusing time for people.
So if someone does have those or experiences those, taking away some of that shame by saying how common it is, like what you mentioned at the beginning of the program, and then saying, you know, look, if we take care of this now, we can keep it from getting worse. There's things that we can do to mitigate some of those symptoms or get rid of them or manage them or whatever it is that you might do.
Definitely.
Okay, so that's fascinating. So I guess maybe you could just briefly tell us, EASA program provides kind of complete suite of services, just briefly in about 20 seconds or so. What kind of services do they provide?
Yeah, so we're a multidisciplinary team. The different providers fill different roles depending on how well a client will connect with each provider. On our team, we have a psychiatrist, a nurse, we have two therapists, we have a case manager who also provides supported employment, and we have our program manager who also can provide substance use treatment.
Wow, that sounds absolutely wonderful. So this is Mental Health Matters, and I'm Andra Hollenbeck with NAMI of Southern Oregon. I want to let everybody know that the May 21st, we're having our big NAMI walks, and it's from 1 to 3 at Alba Park in Medford. This is Mental Health Matters, and really thank you for joining us today, and I would like to thank Andrew for being with us and sharing this really important information. I feel like we could keep talking about some of these things for quite some time. You can find this and other interviews at jeffexchange.org or subscribe to this podcast at Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get podcasts. And, of course, NAMI Southern Oregon can be found at namisouthernoregon.org.